yesterday some of us went to a movie in theater, which is so unusual. But what's not unusual is before the movie, they show advertisements for other movies, the trailers, or what do they call them, previews, trailers. So, and trailers always look really good. I mean, they really make you want to see the movie that you're not there to see. They make you look forward to the future. I was surprised. One of them even gave the date. The movie's going to be going to open on March 8th, 2024. I said, it's August. That just seems so funny to me. Like, man, we have to really look forward to next March. Anyway, the reason I mention that is because yesterday's feast had some of that quality of a glimpse of what is to come. Yesterday was Transfiguration. So the apostles on the mountain were given this glimpse of glory, glimpse of resurrection, glimpse of completion, of presence of God in power and glory. And then it disappeared, and they were walking down the mountain wondering, well, you know, what was that all about? And Jesus said, well, don't tell anyone until the Son of Man rises from the dead. So until, you know, wait till March 8th, or you know, wait till the future when that this thing that you have seen a preview of is fully on display. So that's where we are. I mean, we have seen a glimpse of glory yesterday, and now we're back down the mountain, and it's an ordinary Monday morning, and pretty much life as usual. Except there's no such thing as life as usual, because we know of what is to come. You know, if we hadn't any understanding of glory or any understanding of anything beyond this world, well, yeah, it would be just ordinary life as usual. And that's pretty discouraging and pretty depressing. But we can be in the exact same condition and circumstances and not be discouraged, because we're looking forward to something so much greater. Now, in today's readings, I think that we can connect that idea of a preview to the completion in connection with this gift of bread, starting with the manna in the Old Testament, then the multiplication of the loaves in today's gospel, and then the Holy Eucharist today, and in this time of Eucharistic renewal or revival, Eucharistic revival and Eucharistic amazement. So let's start with the manna. The first reading, this is from Book of Numbers. It's just an excerpt from the Book of Numbers. It doesn't give the whole story, and of necessity, we can't read the whole of all these passages, but this one in particular just presents the complaints of the people and the complaint of Moses, and then it leaves us hanging. Like, well, then what happened? You've got Moses asking God to do him the favor of killing him. Well, what happened? Like, you can't just leave it like that, but that's where they leave us. And also, the people of Israel are complaining about not having any garlic and cucumbers. And, you know, what's God going to do with people like that when no answer is given in this passage? But if you continue to read in Numbers chapter 11, 12, you see God's response. And it's careful, because when people complain, you have to listen to the complaint and see if it's legitimate or not. Because some complaints are really legitimate. Actually, Moses' complaint is legitimate. I can't handle this. I'm crushed by the burden of these hard-headed people who keep demanding things I can't give them. And what do you want me to do, Lord? That's a legitimate kind of cry to the Lord. The cry of the children of Israel is a little bit different. They're saying that they want meat for food, because they remember cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic, and fish. And all we have here is this manna. That's just a great picture of human nature, isn't it? I mean, was it last week or 2 weeks ago we heard them complaining about not having any food? And which is a legitimate complaint. I mean, you have to have food to eat. And God provided food, manna. Like, I'm taking care of my people. This is, it's right. You cry out to me and I provide for you. But when we start crying out for things that we don't need, it's just things that we want, the Lord's response is different. And like I say, we don't read the whole thing, but he punishes them. He punishes them for being arrogant and demanding, but then he also provides the quail by the thousands. I mean, more than they can eat. Like, to show them, you think that you can just make demands, and then you will be satisfied. Look, even if I give you what you demand, you're still not satisfied. So it's a very powerful lesson in the insatiability of our human nature if we're not looking to God, if we're looking to something from God and not God himself. But anyway, the real gift is the manna, and it describes the manna here as being miraculously coming from heaven every single morning. When the dew fell, the manna came, and it tasted like cakes made with oil. I mean, it was actually kind of delicious. But like anyone else, if we eat the same thing every single day, eventually it doesn't taste delicious anymore. So the food is the same, but we're the ones who change in our response to it. If we're really hungry, we'll eat anything. And if we're really hungry, anything that we eat is delicious. This is just great. I'm so satisfied by it. But if we're not really hungry, then we won't just eat anything. We'll be looking for something that satisfies our tastes. And if we're not hungry at all, and we just want what we want, nothing will satisfy, and nothing will taste good enough. Anyway, that's the manna. So great lesson on human nature, but also on God's response to the complaints that arise in us. Some complaints are legitimate. Some complaints are just selfishness. Moses' complaint, just to finish this reading, he says, I can't handle this. He doesn't, he's discouraged, but he doesn't take his life. Sometimes people are a little shocked that when some of the prophets do this too, like, you know, just kill me because I can't handle this. I think Elijah does that too, remember. That's not suicidal. That's that reaching the end of your human strength and falling before the Lord. And when that happens in the Bible, it happens a number of times, God provides. God doesn't like us to be in that condition for very long. He lets us experience it because we are dependent or utterly dependent, but he doesn't want us to be so beaten down that we won't live anymore. And in the case of Moses, his complaint is that these people are too heavy. And part of the answer, if you read further into the book of Numbers, is that God says, okay, pick out 70 guys and I'll put some of the burden on them. You remember that passage? I'll give them some of the burden. And that's what he does. Like, here, Moses, you're right. This is too big for you. Let's spread out the responsibility a little bit. But that's a little off the point that I'm trying to get to, because I want to go from manna to the loaves. Now let's go to the loaves in the gospel. It's the five loaves for feeding 5,000. You know this story very well. It's a story again of human limitation, the limitation of human perspective and power. From the perspective of the disciples, there's too many people, there's not enough food, tell them to go away, that's what we think. There's too many people and there's not enough food, so go away. We'll eat what we've got and we'll survive and let them take care of themselves. And Jesus, always shocking us with his different perspective, his heavenly perspective, says, well, no, there's no need for them to go away. You give them something to eat yourselves. Now, he knows they only have five loaves and they don't have enough to feed 5,000 people. So what's he doing? Well, he's exposing that limitation so that they're not just thinking of taking care of themselves. They're realizing that they can't even take care of themselves, that they depend on God. And this is the right response. Even if we have five loaves, that's not enough either. And even if we can survive taking care of ourselves for a little while, that's not enough. So better off to say, wait, here's the huge problem in the world. There's not enough food. There's no justice. There's corruption. There's disorder in governments. There's disorder in families and all, I mean, just overwhelming needs. And we're supposed to say, Lord, help. Lord, help us. And then he says, okay, well, give me what you've got. This is how life works. He doesn't just act without us. He wants us to be a small part of his great plan. So give me what you got. You only got five loaves. That's enough. As long as you give it to me, I can take care of it from there. But if you don't give me anything, well, then you won't get anything because you're not part of the work. I can feed everybody. I can send quail from someplace. I can bury you in quail if I want to. That's not going to do you that much good. Better for you to become part, to take on my concern for the people, and then you'll see how I work. And then in this particular version, this is Matthew's version, there are these verbs. You maybe heard people preach on this or read about in commentaries, very Eucharistic description of what happens here. He takes the loaves, he looks up to heaven, he says the blessing, he breaks the loaves, and he gives them to the disciples. Those are steps in the Mass. I mean, you receive the loaves from, if it's an offertory, you receive the loaves, you look up to heaven, the priest does this in the name of Jesus, and he says the blessing, blessed are you, Lord our God, he breaks the loaves, gives them to the people. It's exactly the same thing. So this multiplication of the loaves is a prefiguration of the Eucharist, just like the manna is a prefiguration of these loaves and a prefiguration of the Eucharist, just like in the movie theater, the preview is a prefiguration of the movie that's going to come out next year. So this miracle, aside from it being a sign of God providing for hungry people, it's also a sign of how he's going to provide an even greater abundance for an even greater crowd. That is the whole world. And the gift is the Holy Eucharist. So that takes us to where this is really going. We're the people in the desert. We're the people who think that we need more cucumbers or whatever. But what we're really hungering for is God. And God, he might give us cucumbers or not. I mean, this time of year, we have all kinds of what? Zucchini and peaches and, you know, and this is a great fruitful time of year. But, you know, you can eat as many peaches as you want. You're not going to be ultimately satisfied. There's still a hunger for God. And for that, God provides this bread from heaven, the Eucharist, both a foretaste of eternal life and eternal life itself, both future and present. The Eucharist is the fulfillment of these biblical images, and more than a fulfillment, because it's the whole gift of salvation contained in this humble form, bread and wine. Now, it's important to recognize the human tendency to look for something else once we have what we wanted, because this can happen with the Eucharist. I mean, you know the problem, people don't even believe in the Eucharist. And even people who believe, well, they take it for granted or just forget the awesome gift that it is. So we have to recognize that tendency in ourselves. There isn't anything greater. There isn't any greater gift. There isn't anything else to long for. So if we're longing for whatever, a new phone or whatever it might be, say, well, that's just an indication of that insatiable human nature. And we do need things. I mean, we need to get new clothes and new vehicles and new phones. You know, we have to buy food and we have to, you know, get things. But all of them are just indicators of what we really need, and also reminders to us of that deepest hunger. But if we really want to be satisfied, we have to turn to Jesus Christ, and he makes himself available in abundance in the Eucharist. No more to be said.